off and running. So this, friends, is our fourth and final week of looking at just three verses. We've been in Matthew 11, 28, 29, and 30. And we're going to take one more look at those verses this week and then shift our attention from now until the election, talking about what kinds of people God calls us and invites us to be in the midst of a world like the one we are living in that is so divided, or it appears anyway that it is. And so we're going to shift our attention to some things that are, I think, incredibly relevant and important. But for today, we won't get ahead of ourselves here. We're going to look at Matthew 11, 28, 29, and 30. Then Jesus said, "Come to me, all of you who are weary and carry heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, let me teach you, because I'm humble and gentle at heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy to bear, and the burden I give you is light." All right, so we've been talking again about this for a few weeks, and as a way of maybe just kind of getting us all on the same page, because maybe you've been with us these 3 weeks and maybe you haven't, so this is a way for us just to kind of get on the same page. Let me ask a couple of questions here, and if you're with other people, you can quick come to a decision on what answer you think is the right one to this little, let's call it a pop quiz, all right? So in this passage, Jesus uses a yoke as a metaphor for what? A delicious yellow source of protein, a burdensome weight, a way of life. What do you think is the right answer there? We got that one, maybe, yes? Hopefully you do. It is a way of life. And this is an image we used last week just to try and capture a little bit of some different facets of our lives. We tried to talk about how a yoke, as Jesus is using it here, is a way of living. It's a way of living your relationships. It's a way of spending or using your resources. It's a way of grounding your purpose or your vocation. It's a way of life. It's a way of life. And here's the next question, which is true. We all are wearing a yoke, or sometimes we wear a yoke and sometimes we don't, which is true of those two statements. Even if you weren't here, you might be able to guess that it is the first one, that we all wear a yoke because we all choose a way of life. There is not a person on the planet that is not making decisions and choices about how they are going to live. We all do this. And so we're all wearing a yoke, which leads to this next question, which you can quickly decide, which is true. Every yoke is the same, or not all yokes are equal. And you can tell I'm leading you here. I mean, you know, these are not meant to be tough questions, right? Which is true. Every yoke is the same, or not all yokes are equal. And the answer that we find and we've been talking about is that they're not all equal. This is true in real life. If you're actually talking about a literal yoke that fits on an animal, you cannot put the same yoke on every animal and expect it to work well, because every animal can be a bit different. So yokes can be ill-fitting, heavy, burdensome, and sometimes even dangerous if they fit really poorly. Which is a way of saying that the yoke that you put on really matters. The way of life that you choose really matters. Take, for example, relationships. A yoke that you could choose for your relationships would be to keep a record of wrongs. That's how you could make your way through the world and through your relationships. You could keep a record. You could be that kind of person who's always got a score, who always knows who owes them, who always remembers what so-and-so did however many years ago. That is one way, one yoke, when it comes to relationships. Or take resources, you know. You can live with closed hands. You can hang on to every single thing you have for your life. That is a way of living, a way of being in the world. But it tends to leave you lonely and joyless. And so yokes, these different ways of being in the world, you know, they work perhaps for a time. Maybe they even get us what we want, but they don't lead to life. Not every yoke is the same. And so as we often are running from yoke to yoke, because that's what we do, isn't it? We try on this way of life and then it works until it doesn't or it just doesn't work. So then we go try this yoke over here, this way of being in relationship or this way of rooting our purpose or identity. We run around from yoke to yoke. And that's exhausting. It's exhausting, which is why I think Jesus begins this passage saying, "Come to me, all you who are weary." We are weary and tired because we are often running around from yoke to yoke, trying this one on. Doesn't work well, it's ill-fitting. Then we go and try this way over there. It kind of fits, but doesn't well. And we're just always looking for what we think will give us what we want. And that's when we hear again this invitation. "Take my yoke upon you, and you will find rest for your souls. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and light." Notice that Jesus doesn't promise that his way of being in the world, his yoke, that it will make everything easy. That is not what he promises. Nor does Jesus promise that if you follow his way, that life will just become one long vacation. And this promise is much more profound. It says you will live freely and lightly. You will find rest for your souls. Now, in a world that offers us, 100 different yokes, we hear this invitation to one way of life. A yoke that will actually give us what we want and what we need: peace, freedom, joy. And so the final question here today I want to ask is, how do we put on that yoke? How do we put on the way of Jesus? And I think Eugene Peterson's translation gives us some insight. He says, or he translates verse 29, "Walk with me and work with me, watch how I do it," which I think is to say that we need to become apprentices. Now, on that note, I'd be curious in the chat window. Thanks, Sarah. I'm just seeing your note. Thank you for believing in me. I need that for sure. In the chat window, I'd be curious, how many of you have had an apprenticeship at some point along the way? And if you did, what field was it in? Was the experience positive? Was it negative? Was it helpful? I'm sure some of you have had something like an apprenticeship. Would you throw that in the chat window? It'd be interesting to see. I'm going to share a couple stories of what I would kind of say were kind of apprenticeships for me, but I never had an official one. At my current job, outside of the branch, we do get to welcome interns usually a couple times a year in an official capacity. No internships. Oh, there's one. Okay. Well, thank you, Nicole. Appreciate that. Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Student teaching, right? Absolutely. an apprenticeship. And there are plenty of people on this phone call who could raise their hand and say, yep, I had to walk that road. Yeah, Heather, you had to do your residency before you became that full-fledged physician. Jason, PT, physical therapist, there was an apprenticeship involved there, right? Those are really great examples of what I'm going to talk about today. Those types of apprenticeships. There are some apprenticeships that involve like getting coffee for everyone in the office, you know, and organizing the filing cabinet and things of that nature. Not particularly formative, but these examples of student teaching or doing a residency or having an apprenticeship prior to becoming that full-fledged physical therapist, these are very similar to what we see here in this verse from the message. Walk with me, work with me, watch how I do it. Yeah. You know, for me, this, I think, well, it's one of the first places where I was apprenticed, so to speak. Was at McDonald's. I don't know if you've heard of McDonald's before, but I don't mean to brag. I worked for them, you know, about 25 years ago, many, many moons ago. I worked the morning shift at McDonald's, arrived at 5:30 and worked in the kitchen. And on my first day, you know, I remember filling out a little bit of paperwork. I recall getting my uniform, things like that. And then I got placed with an employee, someone who had been working there for a while. And my manager said to me, all right, you're going to hang out with this person. You are going to be shoulder to shoulder with them for the rest of your shift. And when you come back tomorrow, they're going to be here too. You're going to be shoulder to shoulder with them. And when you're with them here, as you're walking with them, so to speak, you're going to work. You know, they're going to tell you what to do. They're going to show you how to do things. But before you get to the work part, I want you to watch. Watch how they do it. Watch how they crack the egg. Watch how he manages his sausage inventory, you know, to make sure that he doesn't have too much, but not enough, right? Watch how he handles a bus pulling into the parking lot full of high school students, you know, like just watch. And then you'll work as you walk with him throughout this day. And so I did. I learned how to be a line cook at McDonald's, how to crack an egg with one hand, with both hands one-handed. I mean, again, I don't mean to brag, but, and in a small way, I was apprenticed into this way of being a line cook at McDonald's by walking and working and watching. That reminds me of a time a few years after McDonald's. This was in between my graduation of college and the starting of seminary. And I had 3 months of summer where I needed a job. It was also the summer that Bethany and I got married, and I just needed to make some money. So I went to a temp agency and I filled out applications for every job that I thought I would have any chance of getting. And then some jobs that I didn't think I'd have any chance. Like, for example, I filled out an application to work for a plumbing, heating, and cooling company, a plumbing and HVAC company. And I applied for this job, again, just because I needed a job. And I thought the more times you cast into the pond, you know, maybe the more likely you are to get a catch. And so I applied for this job, even though I knew nothing about plumbing. And the requirements for the job clearly said you needed it. And in fact, I didn't even know what HVAC meant prior to working for this company for a summer. And so, yet somehow I got a job for Alger Plumbing, Heating and Cooling. And I was paired with Jeff. And the owner of the company said, you're going to hang out with Jeff. Most days you're going to be with him shoulder to shoulder. You're going to walk together, if you will. And I want you to watch him. Watch how he solders a pipe. Watch how he treats a customer. Watch how he problem solves a furnace that isn't working. And then do what he tells you to do. Get to work. Crawl into that hole if he tells you to crawl into that hole. Go where he tells you to go. Do what he tells you to do. And so over time-ish, I learned the way of Alger plumbing, heating, and cooling. Now, please do not call me to repair your kitchen sink. Number one, because I don't like doing it. And number two, I'm no good at it, actually. The thing about this apprenticeship is that it was only 3 months long. And as is true probably with a lot of things that we try to learn that are brand new, it takes time. It takes time. So I picked up a few things. You can call me if your kitchen sink is in trouble, and I might be able to help you, and I would be glad to try. But I certainly didn't become an expert because it wasn't long enough, right? But you know, those couple of experiences remind me of how I learned and am still learning the way of Jesus. You know, I think we put on the yoke of Jesus the same sort of way. We walk, we work, and we watch. I mean, when I think about the walking part, I think about all of the people over the course of my life who I have been able and privileged to walk with, who I have been able to work with, who I have been able to watch, who have shown me by their life and example what the way of Jesus, the yoke of Jesus looks like. I think about my mom and dad, of course. I think about my mother and father-in-law. I think about my brothers, my sisters. My family has been and still is significant in the formation of my faith as I walk with them and work with them and watch them. But it's also some peers that I had at Grand Valley when Bethany and I were part of a campus ministry there. And it was really a couple of key people when I was in seminary, the church I served before starting the branch. I think of people like the Matices and the Chapanics and the Metzes, people that were just so gracious and kind and showed me what it looked like to follow Jesus. And then I think about all of you. I mean, in varying ways and to differing degrees, we are walking together as a part of this community. We're spending time together, less so these days, perhaps, than we would like. But still, we're connected to each other. We're working together in this call, this passion that we have to see renewal come to the world. And we're watching each other, right? And often I'm learning the most from you when I witness your life and I see something in your life that is different than mine. Maybe you see the world differently or you hold a different perspective on something. Those differences of experience, of personality, those things shape me and they give me a fuller picture of what it looks like to follow Jesus, to put on his yoke. And so all of you and so many other people in my life have been people I've walked with and worked with and watched. And in doing so, had a better idea of what it looks like to follow in the way of Jesus, which means it may be a good time to pause here for a moment and ask this question of yourself. Who are the people in your life today that you are walking with or working with or watching? Who are the people in your life that are a helpful example, not a perfect example, but a helpful example of what it looks like to put on the way of Jesus? Do you have those folks? Are you making intentional investments to be with those kinds of people? This is a critical way. That's why we're called the body of Christ, because we help each other live out this calling, this way of Jesus. So who are those people in your life? Do you have them? And if not, Where is the investment to be made? What do you need to do so that you are walking and working and watching? Hold that question if it's helpful for you. And then let me, of course, invite you to consider how, if, where, when are you walking with Christ, working with Christ, watching Christ? We are helpful examples to each other. We need each other. And what a gift it is to have tangible human being, flesh and blood, family and friends who can help us know the way of Jesus. But we would be unwise to not also look to the one whose way we are trying to follow. And so, are you walking with Jesus in any way these days? When I think of walking with someone, I think of how it's an act of spending time with someone. Walks are often a chance to get away from the constant set of responsibilities that we have to care to. A walk kind of is away from all of that, right? We're going somewhere else, and it's with someone quite often. So it's this act of spending time. And how, where, when are you doing that with Christ? Are there moments of quiet in your day? They don't have to be hours in length, but are there 5 minutes when you wake up? Is there a spot around lunch where you just pause and quiet your heart and your mind, reflect on the day and where God has been with you in it? You know, is there something that you do at the end of the day to look back and to take stock of what has been, to note where, again, God has been present and with you? Are you walking? Are you working? Are you getting your hands dirty? You know, it's often I've found in my life, and I think about people who were student teachers or residents, you know, it was probably often when you actually got to work that you learned the way of this thing that you were trying to live into. This is helpful, learning things intellectually, but it's often in the doing that we realize, ooh, I don't know that yet, or I have this to still figure out, or wow, I made a mistake and yet God is here with me still. It's in the work. It's in the pursuit of justice. It's in the determination to forgive instead of seeking revenge. It's in the work that we often learn the way of Jesus best. And so, are you about the work of the kingdom of God? Are you rolling up your sleeves? Are you looking around your neighborhood? What work might Christ be inviting you to do with him today? And then, are you watching? I know Jesus isn't here, flesh and blood, literally shoulder to shoulder. But we do have his life in the Gospels that we get to read about and know. And Christ tells us that he lives in us, Christ in us, the hope of glory. Are you watching the way that Jesus interacted in the world? Are you taking stock of how he treated people? Are you noticing where he rooted his identity? Are you watching? This is how we become apprentices in this way of Jesus. It's how we learn to put on his yoke. And so I'd encourage you here, before we move on to communion, to just pause for a moment, just give you a few seconds here, and to quietly reflect on which of these three, or maybe it's all three or two of them, maybe it's one, walking, working, watching. Is there one of these that really is standing out to you this morning as something that you want to engage with more? And then what would that look like to do it? And not like somewhere off in the future, but tomorrow, Monday, September, 28th, I think. What would it look like tomorrow to walk more, or to work more closely with, or to watch carefully the one whom we are trying to follow? Let's consider that here for a moment together.